So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, dead ringer for Justin Theroux, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad, a builder of simple furniture, and proselytizer of fast food, I would say.
Ooh, proselytizer.
Yeah, I really like it. It is. There's also no real good way to succinctly say that it's how I denote everywhere that I go in Los Angeles. Like, if somebody tells me where they live, I need to know. I can only figure it out by knowing what fast food is close to them. Uh-huh. I'm like, they'll tell me two cross streets, and I'll be like, okay, hold on. Oh, okay, two blocks from the Chick-fil-A. I got it.
Yeah, I think you did that when I told you. When I moved to West LA and I told you where I was, you immediately were like, Zanku chicken. It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess. You know the area better than I do. But
I mean, I don't. I know one place there. Yeah. And it's not even like some of the it's fast food that I don't even go to. Like people will be like, I live over on Saturn in La Cienega. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, you're near the Wiener Schnitzel. They're like, I am? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, how is it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't go to those. I don't like them.
You say it like it's a bad part of town, but you don't know. It's just a restaurant you haven't been to.
Yeah. Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Make the restroom your best room with the complete Tushy system, including the Tushy bidet attachment, ottoman, toilet brush, and Tushy stand and tissues. Get 10% off plus free shipping at hellotushy.com/QQ. Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Raycon start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ and use code HOLIDAY today to get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Thanks to Canva Pro for supporting Quick Question. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/QQ45. Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile with skincare and hair care made just for you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
We should get into the show. I guess I have a couple of updates. Yes. Since we last spoke, I know I was more on the fence about transcendental meditation last time I talked to you. I'm pretty into it.
Okay. do you want to talk about your breakthrough?
No, I mean, not a breakthrough. I think I like it for, I could talk about like two very superficial surface level reasons why I like it. One is that I'm doing it. Like they want you to do it twice a day, 20 minutes each time, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes again in the evening. And of course, the first week I did it, I wasn't getting anything from it. And I also felt like, even though I didn't have anything to do or anywhere to be, I still felt like, where am I possibly going to get 40 minutes from? I don't have an extra 40 minutes every day. I'm going to have to invent that. Or like, something is going to have to suffer. Even if that something was just like, the time that I spend in the morning sitting on my computer doing nothing. I was like, but it's important to me that I do that. Yeah. So the first week, it feels like a real chore and a real struggle, like adding anything new to your regular routine. But then, like anything else, if you actually do it, you start to observe results. And I'm like, honestly doing it every day, twice a day, the amount of time that I'm supposed to. And I like it. It's a good way to start my day and a good way to like calm down before dinner, in between my run and dinner. And I'm getting the things that I feel like I'm supposed to be getting. Because one of the things that I wanted from it was increased focus and creativity. I'm a little bit horrified the amount of, not breakthroughs, but like clarity right now that I get when I'm meditating is very focused on, of all things in my life, this podcast, and I'm furious about that. I want to go back to my teacher and be like, flip a different switch. I want to write a fucking novel, and all I've got is different intros for this podcast.
Well, that's exciting for me. I mean, good news on my front.
Yeah. I think I've also I've talked a pretty big game. I don't think the audience or you will observe any real change in the podcast. I just think about it a lot now.
Well, what it'll mean is that you probably have a couple of intros all like logged and ready to go.
Yeah, not today.
Okay.
I think like this is going to make me sound like a not present sociopath. I'm thinking of like responses I could say to you if you say certain things to me.
Those are going to come in like smoking hot.
Yeah, I'm prepping a lot of spontaneous off the top of my head responses.
I don't think that's super weird. That's something I do accidentally while running all the time. I have dialogues in my head that are they're not even mine necessarily. It's just like some people are talking in like in my brain. Sometimes it's me talking to other people, but generally it's just people talking. And like a really good joke will come up and I'll be like, whoa, it would be great to get there. Never happened.
Yeah. I really hope I'm standing on the street with a stranger and we both watch someone fall off a bike because I got something. I got something for it.
And then I'll like spend the rest of the run trying to figure out, well, how could I put it in a tweet? Maybe I can use it there.
The other reason I think it's, not that I think it's going well because of this, but it definitely ties into why I'm definitely doing it and giving it a fair, honest shake. I don't know if I mentioned that you pay for these classes.
Oh, no, that was not on the table. I didn't realize that was... Okay.
And I think...
Are you comfortable saying how much each class is?
No.
Okay.
But I can tell you a weird thing about it. Two weird things about it. It's based on your income. It's based on your household income before taxes.
Wow. Okay. All right. It's an honor system then.
Yes. Yeah. That's the second part of it. There's four tiers of what you pay, and they include on the website, like, it's honor system. So if you want to say that you make less and pay us less, you can do that, and no one will know.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if I cheat that system.
I didn't, especially because, like, if someone tells me something is on the honor system, that doesn't, to me, mean, oh, good, an opportunity to cheat, you know? That is like, yeah, then I'm gonna do it because I am part of the honor system.
I get that. I get why you would do that.
I would much sooner cheat something that someone was like, and it's impossible to cheat this. I'm like, all right, let's we'll see.
I used to be a lot like that, but that was because it was in my mind I had a constant camera on me at all times that was... Yeah. Where I was the hero of whatever story someone was watching. And, you know, since I've had children, that's obviously changed. And so now I'm just a side character who the camera doesn't follow all the time. And I'm like, well, fuck it. Oh, what do I lose? What do I gain?
Right.
What are the options here?
And I do think that, I mean, this is like probably a tale as old as time sales trick that once you pay for something, you're much more likely to tell other people that it works. Because otherwise I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's true. That's some cost in fallacy. Yeah. And so you're liking it. At least you're paying for it, and so you like it.
I like it, yeah. I don't know that I would, because you can Google meditation techniques, and you could probably, even if you dug deep enough, find exactly what goes into transcendental meditation, because it's not like in reinventing the wheel or anything like that. But I had those tools at my disposal my entire life, and I wasn't really dedicatedly doing any meditation until money changed hands.
Right. There was, yeah, you had some skin in the game. I you know what? Like, even though the way that you're selling me on it is I paid for it and now I like it, I'm like, oh, that sounds like something I would enjoy. I'm like getting more invested now.
Yeah.
And so also you said that you've had just more clarity from it, because that's a huge problem for me. Somebody tweeted today about how they said, hey, ADHD people, which that's not a group I affiliate myself with, but I read on. They said, when you're working on something and somebody else interrupts your train of thought, do you feel attacked? And all these people were jumping in and being like, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm terrible. I lash back out. And it's like, it's my response is completely not in line with what's just happened. And I was like, oh, fuck, I do that. And I wonder if it's just everybody, where if I'm actually giving my focus to something,
Like, that attention is valuable.
Yeah.
And if somebody else is like, blah, 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 blah. Well, what about this other thing? What about, did you know I saw a duck today? Like, that kind of thing. I'm mad. I get mad, and in a way where, like, I can't control how mad I am. Like, I outwardly, you're going to see that I'm a little visibly upset.
Buddy.
Does that not happen to you?
I think you'd like TM.
All right. Well, let me read up on my Emerson again. Let me go back to Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. Let me get really in touch with my transcendental past.
Yes.
I will be a transparent eyeball. Mm-hmm. And then I will try your transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
Do they talk anything about... They don't talk about transparent eyeballs there, do they?
No, they talk... Towards the end of the course, they get into the more hooky-boogie aspects of this that, like, somewhere in the back of my mind, it seems great. Like, this idea of, like, actual transcendence, where if you achieve this next level of deep meditation, you can access this level of, like, cosmic stillness and coolness in your waking life when you're not meditating, and you just, like, walk around and they say, like, colors are brighter and smells are different, like, everything is heightened in a in a fantastic way. That all sounds neat and also I think impossible, and also not what I'm going for with this. Like, I'm to again, creativity, focus, to be less angry is another, like, aspect of this. To be less stressed is another aspect of it. I hate ever talking about writing in a way that is divorced from, like, the mechanical method parts of it. But TM is I want to connect to the part of writing that is not that. I want to connect to the tiny fragment part of writing that is the magic part that we can't control. And
yes,
it's good for that.
Okay. That's great to hear, because everybody's looking for that.
Yeah.
Every single writer in the world is looking for that. Occasionally, you just feel almost like it's writing through you. Like, the world has just, like, you're this filter that consolidates all of these really important thoughts. And you're like, wow, I could do that. And you feel very excited, and it doesn't feel like you even necessarily.
Yeah. When it comes to, like, I'm listening to the character and like, like, scenes in the novella that I'm working on and the pilot that I'm working on, scenes are very much motivated by, like, I like this character and this character. I want to get them together and see what happens. And that's a part that, like, for all my robotic method approach to writing that I preach and live by, that's a part that I can't back up with any kind of facts or any method. I mean, like, the method is just preparing yourself to be open to those moments and to listen to them when they come to you. But, you know, the end of the day answer is, no, this is magic. I put two people that don't exist into a room together to see what happens, and now I'm watching what happens.
You're in good company there, my friend, because David Milch did a whole series on what it means to be a writer and writing, and he talks about a very similar thing. He did it, like, decades ago, but it's still, it's wonderful and salient. But he talks about how he doesn't know, he doesn't have an arc built out. Like, he's not breaking a whole series before he starts. Or whatever he happens to be writing. He's not breaking the whole thing. So he's like, I got to get to this ending. He's like, I don't write that way. What I want is, if you create dynamic enough characters and, like, well thought out characters, then I just put them together. And it's exciting for me even to see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's
George Saunders, probably the best living short story writer, one of my favorite writers of all time, is talking about he was grading a student's paper on Kafka's Metamorphosis. And he came across this line from the student: upon perusing this story, I felt myself at a distinct tilt. And Saunders, as a professor, was like, that sucks. What a bad line. And then just decided to start writing as that's not that student in terms of, like, I know who this person is, but just, like, what is it like to write a sentence like that, to think a sentence like that? And he just started writing as a person who would describe Metamorphosis that way, and then spun it out into this whole sci-fi short story, one of his best short stories. I think it's called Josh and Hannah or something like that. It's two names in one of his collections. It's great. We'll put it in the footnotes of this episode. Bacon will drop a link in the footnotes. But it all started from him, like, I see one line and now I'm going to start writing in this voice, and then, like, expand the voice and see where the voice goes and see what this person does. And, oh, it turns out this person is a teenager. Oh, it turns out they live in this weird futuristic facility. Oh, it turns out it's a bunch of teenagers and they're all drugged into complacency. And it's all stuff that just starts with him like listening to where a character wants to go, where a voice wants to go. And I like it, and that's what I'm trying to do. I think, especially working for Last Week Tonight, which is a great job that I love so much, it's very much one voice. And it's also like we're in a structure of how an episode goes, how John sounds, how things are supposed to move. And it's very easy to fall into that kind of structured way of writing, which is incredibly helpful for this job. But as I'm in hiatus between seasons, I want to make sure that I'm also tapping into the non-structure part of my brain, the part that doesn't go on autopilot.
Interesting. Okay. All right. We'll talk.
TM is great. I recommend it for everybody, even if you're not a writer, and if you don't want to like take the course and pay for it, do some meditation every day.
Do you feel like you go somewhere at all?
No. Okay. I know that that's a possibility that they talk about in class, and it sounds like it's, you know, you repeat your mantra to yourself over and over again, and sometimes you lose your mantra, and when you recognize that you lose it, you come back to it, and it's easy. It's supposed to be easy. The whole point of it is you're not supposed to force it or make it feel like work. It should always feel easy to just return to your simple mantra, and you know that you answer like quiz questions after you meditate. And one of them is always like, now, did you ever get to a place where your mantra was gone, but also you had no other thoughts coming and you were just still and distant? Like, no, I'm either repeating the mantra or I'm thinking about what I'm doing later.
Yeah. Okay. Now that you've started meditating and you are also a runner, do you feel like there's any overlap there, like in the Venn diagram? Are you
Absolutely.
Getting some of the same benefits from running
yes.
that you would?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like because running itself, I think, is very meditative, even if it's yes. not like formal meditation. It's very meditative, and also I think I'm noticing you notice similar gains when you start running and when you start meditating, and I imagine when you start like anything new, any new thing that feels like it's not working at first. In The Sun Also Rises, one of Hemingway's fucking characters asks another character how he went bankrupt. And two ways, he says, gradually and then suddenly. And that's how I feel about running. That's how I feel about writing. That's how I now feel right. about meditation. And that, like, this is going to feel slow for a while. And then you start to notice differences and gains. And then it snowballs, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, because it becomes practiced work. It's yeah. not practiced when you first start it. Like, I think with the gains that I would get from it, and this is not a knock against it, like, I'm not trying to belittle it by saying this, it's going to be the same as me taking a shower, brushing my teeth, driving. It's like, yeah. these are the places where I'm going to have my best ideas because my brain has doing practiced work at that point. So it's not in charge of my body. My body knows how, my muscles know how to do this, these motions and this stuff. And so my brain has this free time to itself to just sort of wander a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't get that before I go to sleep because my head hits the pillow and I fall asleep.
Right.
So I think that I would get the same thing, but you have to make it practiced work, which is, God, it's just another thing I gotta build up.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up in the holiday season and you might be thinking, what am I going to get the people who have it all? My family, they get to be related to me. How can they possibly want more? Well, I'll let you know that Hello Tushy is building a quiet little empire over there in their corner of the world. They're moved on from just bidet attachments. Now they've got all kinds of products that you can choose from. So if you're buying a lot for family members this year, Hello Tushy bidets are a great gift for your ego-conscious cousin, your neat freak sister, your dad with that IBS, anyone in your family who poops. Or let's say they might already have a Hello Tushy. You can also get them the toilet brush, the Tushy stand and tissues. You can get them the ottoman. There's all kinds of fun products now that go along with your Tushy so that your entire bathroom can be decked out in Tushy decor. There is literally no gift that keeps on giving like the Hello Tushy. It cleans your butt way better than wiping, cuts your toilet paper use by 80%, saves trees and all the thousands of gallons of water used to convert them into toilet paper, and it comes with a book full of poop jokes. I used to write poop jokes for a living, and God, I loved it. Had I only known, I could have written for Hello Tushy. Oh, they would have been lucky to have me. We love partnering with Hello Tushy, and we have a deal for you. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. So stop spreading all that mess around your butthole, just wiping it from one side to the other. It's like trying to clean up milk with a rake. Don't do it. Start washing with the Hello Tushy. It washes your bum with fresh water for a way better clean than toilet paper. It attaches to your existing toilet. You don't need to hire anyone to do it. Installs less than 8 minutes. And it saves not just you a bunch on your toilet paper. It saves the earth too, because you're not using as much toilet paper. That means you don't need to use as many trees for that toilet paper. And the whole process of getting toilet paper out of trees takes a lot of water, my friend. A lot more than you get from using the Hello Tushy. Give the gift of a clean bum to yourself or your loved ones this holiday season and get 10% off plus free shipping right now at hellotushy.com/QQ. hellotushy.com/QQ. If you're like me, then right after Halloween, you already saw lists all over the internet of the best gift guides this holiday season. Gifts for moms, gifts for guys, gifts for your pet, gifts for your neighbor's pet. You know what? I'm going to walk that one back. I'm not sure that that list actually exists, but niche market, if you're writing articles for the internet, give that one a shot. You could study all these gift guides and shop at 10 different places, or you could start your shopping at Raycon and get a gift everyone will use. Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio. We're teaming up with Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ and use code HOLIDAY today to get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Raycons give you an amazing quality wherever you go, whether you use them to work out or to cool down, or you're just going to sit at the library and work on something mindless that you can also listen to music for. They're great for all occasions. Best of all, they're so discreet in your ear. I love them. Sometimes I'm on Zoom calls and I use them, and no one can even tell that I'm wearing them. It's really nice. Everybody else has these big lumpy cans on their head, and afterwards they take them off and they've got that little duck dip in the top of their hair where the headphones have been sitting. Not me. I look good on my way to Taco Bell for my lunch break. Ooh-wee. They'd be useful for anyone on your list. Even better for you. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands too. Raycons are available in 5 stylish colors, so you can pick a perfect one for everyone on your list. And with free shipping and returns, gifting is easier than ever. The holidays are coming up faster than you think. Look out! Now is the time to knock out that gift list and avoid the last minute shipping scramble. Especially because right now my listeners will get 15% off statewide with code HOLIDAY at buyraycon.com/QQ. That's buyraycon.com/QQ. But I will say that when I run, I used to get this from cross country skiing too. You get into a pattern or a motion that like affects your breathing, and your breath starts coming out in a very specific way each time. It's not always the same, but sometimes it's like a or like whatever it is, like whatever you're doing on your run. And then that starts to become words out of nowhere. And like, it kind of becomes a chant. Like my brother talks about going up to this hut. I told you about the hut system in Colorado, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he's skiing up, he's skinning up to a hut, which means that he's got these skins on the bottoms of his skis so that he can get up there. And you're going uphill basically on your skis. And it's just cross country skiing. And the mantra that came to him was big ass chicken, long ass wait. And big ass chicken, long ass wait has to this day been like his thing. Like when he's just like trying to like huff through something, he's like, big ass chicken, long ass wait. Big ass chicken, long ass wait. Huh. And I was like, oh, interesting. And then I started to notice that these things just become words in my head as well as I'm running, where I'm like, oh, I've just been saying the same thing over and over and over again. I'm not thinking about it. I'm thinking about other stuff, but this word has just kept going in my brain.
Interesting. I think you'd like meditation.
All right.
I think you'd like it, but I also think like you don't need to take a class. I don't get like a referral fee. You don't need to take a class or pay any money or study anything to, you can immediately recognize that you would get some benefit from sitting quietly.
Yes.
40 minutes a day.
Yes. I understand. Objectively, I get that that's true. All right. Well, you want to get into our show?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you a quick question, Daniel?
Absolutely.
Okay. picture a box of donuts. It's just arrived at your... Do you guys get donuts at work sometimes, or did you used to before the end of times?
We used to every once in a while, yeah.
Okay, so what would happen for us is that whoever's script it was on a day of like a table read, that person would bring in some donuts, and you just you're literally sweetening the deal. And you open up that box of donuts, and there's all kinds of like good stuff in there, and there's also some maple donuts. Now, do you eat those maple donuts? Are you a fan?
No.
Yeah, because they're dog shit. The fact that maple donuts exist is silly. And that they're always included in a box of donuts is even crazier. That you wouldn't just exclude them.
But it's always weird that we're still, like, we as a society are still selling like burner donuts that we know no one actually wants.
it's the melon to fruit salad maple donuts are to the box of donuts. It's like, well, it's just there to take up more room and make the box look more full.
Captain Crunch, you can make them all oops all berries. You have that power. You can just do it right.
And they're not saving money at the donut shop by using maple. Like, these aren't like, these donuts are cheaper for them to make. So the maple donuts suck. They're always the last thing in the box. And I was thinking about that the other day because somebody brought me a box of donuts. And I want to know from you, what's the maple donut equivalent to in your pantry? Like, what is the thing in your pantry that sits there every time that you're hungry and you go to look at, or it could be in your fridge, that you go to look at what's there? You can't throw this thing out because you know at some point you'll get desperate enough and you'll eat it.
Yeah.
What is that thing for you?
I have two for this category. One of them is because we know I love to cook, and I famously hate leftovers because that takes out a lot of the fun of my nighttime routine. I like to run and shop for what I'm going to make and then make dinner and sing while I make dinner and clean up and do the whole thing. If I have leftovers from the night before and all I do is reheat it, then I'm bummed. And I would much sooner, I will cook a new meal every single night of the week as a preference. But it's difficult to cook like exactly the amount of food that I want to eat every night. So there's always, by design, leftovers. And so I stick them in the freezer. And now I just have a freezer full of frozen leftovers that I never want to eat. Even right now, I know that there's like four different pastas in there and there's some turkey meatballs and a lasagna. And I'm getting close to the end of December that I'm just like, I might have to just throw them out. Like, my hand might be forced by time because I'm moving out of here.
Oh, that's gonna be freeing.
That's gonna be great. I will never have to eat these because I will never want to. I will never want to reheat something that's already made if the option of making something new is on the table. Right. But let's assume I am out of groceries and I'm not allowed to go to a store. Yeah, that's my maple donut. That, or I have like an industrial sized unkillable thing of couscous, so I can make couscous whenever I want.
Wait, is it Israeli couscous or is it the little stuff?
The little stuff.
Ugh. Okay.
And it's like the perfect thing. There's like, yes, this is easy. I can add whatever spices I want to it. And it really feels like camping food or prison food where it's like, yes, this will get the job done. Right. But I would sooner starve.
Right. It's such a chore. That's the food that you have available to you when like a real pandemic happens where there's no, right. There's nothing else available and you're not allowed to leave the house. And you're like, well, I'm not going to die. Yeah. I have this stuff. Yeah, that's a good one. So for me, I've got two in my pantry that I look at like all the time. I mean, I just hate them. I loathe that they're in there, but I can't throw them away. One is these savory plantain chips that haven't been opened. We had like two bags of them for some reason. It was maybe a deal. I can't remember. But we opened up the first bag and I was like, I don't like these. They're not for me. I like banana chips. I think that those have like a good crunch to them. I think that they're sweet. But we've got these kind of salty, savory plantain chips that are just a little bit more chippier. They're like thinner and crustier. And they chew real weird. Like, they start to get kind of chewy as you chew them. And yeah. I don't like that. I just hate everything about them. But I also know that I love to snack. And at some point, my standards will fall so far that I'll be like, no, I think I want those. And I'll go eat them. The other one that I have is this whole Indian curry kit, and I don't even remember its origin story, honestly. I can't remember how it ended up in my pantry. All I know is that I've always had it. and it's got all this stuff to really start a curry from scratch. It's got coconut milk in it in a can. It's got big bay leaves, all kinds of great colored spices that I don't know what they are. And
you don't have to measure anything. It's all there for you.
Yes, everything is like specifically packed so that I just pour it into a bowl and I assume make a curry. I'm not ever going to do it. No. I'm never going to like sit down and be like, okay. Because I know that it's never going to be as good as if I just go get Indian. Yeah. I know it's also going to be a lot of work. And at some point, I'm going to run into a problem. And I'm going to have to like check the internet. I'm going to have to see, okay, well, hold on a second. Do I need some yogurt for this? How much yogurt am I supposed to add? How much is this spice going to ruin it for me? Because it's going to be way too spicy. And I don't want to have to deal with all of that. And I don't want to, there are other foods I'm great at being an architect of. This is like a brand new building to me, and I'm not willing to do it.
Yeah. I feel that. I also have a lot of aspirational foods because I have a really hard time getting myself to eat vegetables. So when I'm shopping, I'll trick myself and get like a hash brown that is made of a bunch of vegetables.
Yes.
And as I'm buying it, I'm like, this is the thing that's going to turn us around. And a part of my brain is like, yeah, you can buy whatever you want, buddy, but I'm in charge when we're cooking.
Yeah. For a long time, it was these flaxseed vegetable chips that I had in there where I was like, each one is a different flavor. Like one is just carrot, one's sweet potato, one's beets or whatever. Yeah. And then you get it home and I'm like, hold on a second. I don't like any of those things. Why did I think I would like them in chip form? And then what's flaxseed anyway? There's just these seeds in my chips.
Yeah, I just like my sister-in-law convinced me to get flaxseed. She was like, it's great. You could put it on peanut butter on a piece of toast and it's very good for you. And I'm like, cool, yeah, I'll buy this and then let it sit in my cabinet for 3.5 years because I'm never going to want a single piece of bread, some peanut butter, and then some bird food.
Yeah, and that's very much what it feels like eating. Like when you put it in your mouth, you're like, okay. Yeah. No, I get it why there are health food nuts out there. This is what they consume each day.
Yeah.
And at some point they've just tricked themselves either into thinking they liked it or that like this is their penance. Food has become their penance where they know that they're better people because instead of torturing themselves by whipping themselves down the street, they're eating dog shit every single day and reminding themselves, no, this is your penance.
See, now I wonder, because when I talk to my friends who don't like running, I assume they're wrong. Or not wrong. I just assume they haven't done it enough yet. Because they're like, no, of course you don't like running if you only run a mile and you only run every once in a while. It's always going to feel like a chore. You need to put a lot of time into it. And then it becomes a thing that is an essential part of your day. And like, I love it genuinely, I think.
Oh.
And I wonder if, because when on the other side of that coin, when people talk about eating healthy and with their stupid seeds and their horseshit bland garbage, like you're just, you don't actually feel that way. You can't feel that way. You can't honestly convince me that anything with seed in the name is better than a Big Mac. You can't.
To be fair, Big Mac's got seeds on it.
Yeah, but it's not in the name.
It's in the song. I think that it's probably closer to writing. It's that process of writing starting from the beginning is terrible. It's that I can't remember who said it, but writing is terrible, but to have written is divine, or whatever the fuck it is. It's like once you've actually done it, or you're near the end of it, you're like, oh yeah, like the accomplishment of it feels really great. It's like its own high. So I think that when you eat that food, you said no to something that you could have eaten, would have tasted very good, and at the end you would have felt terrible about. You eat this thing that's not as good, but by the end you're like, oh shit, I'm the same full.
Yeah.
And but it was something that was actually good for me. And so you're just like waiting for that moment. Ugh.
Oh, I don't know.
Just sounds like today I'm gonna eat Taco Bell.
Yeah, I'm in such a blessed place right now because I'm flying early tomorrow morning. I'm going to LA. Hey, man, let you want to hang out?
Yeah, sure. I think
I was hoping for a quicker yes on that.
Did you also hear me then try to think of other things I might have going on?
Yeah, you don't even know what dates I'm going to be there.
I might be sick.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'm in a rare place right now where I have an early flight tomorrow morning. I have already had breakfast and lunch today and have done the dishes for those things. It would be crazy for me to cook tonight because then I'll just have more dishes to do. So I think I have to order something or go to a restaurant.
Oh boy.
And you know what the problem is? It's not a problem. Is that you said the words Taco Bell. So now it's gonna be Taco Bell.
I am excited for you. Not only that, but you, first of all, you're going to eat something great tonight. The world is your oyster, and you can eat anything except oysters because they suck. But you then, during your travels, your hands are tied. You have no choice but to eat fast food while you're traveling because that's what's available to you. And what a gift that is from the universe. Yeah. Like when I'm getting on a plane, oh, I'm so excited to go to that airport and just peruse their terrible fast food options.
Yeah. Especially because I almost never like make a burger for myself. It's a weird thing to make as a single person, publicly single for branding purposes, alone in your apartment. It's weird just like make a burger because you can't buy ingredients for a single burger. And now I just have a bunch of patties and buns that would go bad. So I almost never have burger stuff in my apartment. But if I'm at an airport restaurant, oh boy. Oh, I'm getting a burger and fries.
That's like, this just, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think about that though. Like the dietary differences between us must be so vast.
Yeah.
Because just the idea of buying ground beef alone. I mean, I'm not buying ground beef, obviously. I'm buying ground turkey because I don't eat beef. But the same rules apply. Like, I know that entire ground beef is going to be a meal for my family, and there probably won't be leftovers. So whatever we're going to make with that, tacos or a burger or we'll throw it in like a pasta or whatever it is, I know I'm using all of it. Ground beef is just like a whole nother world to you, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm ever getting ground beef or ground bison or ground turkey, it's because I'm going to a barbecue and I'm making burgers for multiple people. Or if it's just something for the home, then I'm probably making slow cooker chili or some kind of soup where I'm just going to have leftovers for a long time. Stupid, stupid leftovers.
I don't like them either. But fortunately, my wife hates to throw out food. And so she will eat a lot of the leftovers. Great. And that means that each day at lunch, like I'll go into the kitchen, I'll be like, what's your plan for lunch? And she'll be like, oh, well, we still have a lot of the Thanksgiving leftovers. So I'm probably going to have those. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then we'll wait there for a second. She'll be like, do you want to go out and get your lunch? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yes, please.
Yes, may I go?
I'm the same way. And I'm such a baby about it where I look in the fridge and I just see a bunch of leftovers. I'm like, yeah, but I already ate that.
Right.
I know what it's like. I know what happens.
We did that.
There's no surprise.
Oh, it's going to be a worse version of what I did before. Yeah. There's no way it's going to be better. I promise you.
Yeah.
Colleen. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. You can choose from thousands of professionally made templates, which are easy to customize with simple drag and drop features, or if you're feeling like you know what you're doing, you can just start from scratch and build your own. It's easy for anyone of any level to make the best product possible. Stay on top of the team projects with an easy organizing system that allows you to share, edit, and comment in real time, so a lot of people can all use it at once. With Canva Pro Content Planner, you save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. So you and four teammates can unlock Canva Pro for just $12.99 a month. That's like they're giving it away. Look, we're getting up to that time of the year where you've got Christmas cards looming. How are you going to get those done in time? You want it to look polished, you want it to look nice, and you just can't let anyone know how slapdash this process really is. Well, I got good news for you. At Canva, you could take care of that in a heartbeat. You can make something that looks gorgeous in just a few minutes. And you might be thinking, well, but then I'd have to learn their system. I'd have to figure out how to
put a paint bucket in there, drag and drop pictures and resize so that they don't look anamorphic. No, you don't. That's the gift of Canva. Canva is so easy to use, essentially holds your hand through the whole process if you want it to. They've got thousands of customized, beautiful looking templates that you can start with. Wow your audience with Canva Pro, the easiest way to create presentations. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/QQ45. That's canva.me/QQ45 to get your free 45-day extended trial. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, your skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. There's not a lot of other brands that are doing this for your entire bathroom routine. You're alone in there. You're on your own. You've got nobody to hold your hand. You're just like looking through creams and lotions and thinking, "Why? What's right for me?" And then you put the wrong thing on. The next thing you know, your whole entire face is breaking out. Well, Hawthorne is trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. Upgrade the products that help you, like your body wash, your shampoo, deodorant, face cleanser, moisturizer, and cologne. Just you take a short study back quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit. You get free shipping on your Hawthorne order. And if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, they'll give you free shipping on your return as well. I took their quiz. It was very easy, very short. Asked me a few questions about what I liked in a product, what type of skin, what type of hair I had. And based on all that information, they sent me some products that frankly I love. I think they're great. And it also made me realize I was just sort of settling before now. You know that feeling where you're like, you think the world works one way and then you're like, wait a second, everything can be customized specifically for me? It's the best feeling in the world. And it makes you so excited to just get ready in the morning to use all of these great things around you. It just makes you feel better. It makes you excited to get ready in the morning. So nice to finally have some products that feel like they are just for you. Sometimes I talk to them. My favorite product, hands down, is the soap. They send you a big brick of soap that I love. It smells great. My wife has complimented me on it. I love it, and it lasts me so long. And as soon as you run out of that bar, you just order another one, and it comes right to you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and using promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne. .co. Promo code QQ for 10% off your first purchase.
If there was a better way to turn foods into other foods, I'll keep talking to explain what I mean. I came home from Thanksgiving with a bunch of leftover turkey, and then I turned that into turkey tetrazzini. That's a brand new adventure. Right. There aren't a lot of meals that you can make that, like, and then the next day I turn this pasta into tacos. Like, I can't do that with everything.
That's, yeah, you're pretty limited with some foods. But at some point, I just want to, like, look in your fridge. Here's what we'll do. When you come out here, you can look in my fridge and you can look in my pantry after we get freshly stocked up and see if there's, I just want you to, like, point out anything where you're like, oh, no, I can't eat that. Obviously, because it only comes in batches that are way too big for a single human.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
All right.
I mean, I was hoping we would hang out in like a different way. But
you will also need to leave. Okay, just come over. We'll do that little experiment, and then it would be great if you could just.
Okay. Do you want me to bring my podcast equipment so I can narrate while I'm going through your pantry? This is not for the podcast. This is just something you want me to do.
No, I think it should be for the podcast.
Okay.
No, I'm thinking you should bring your podcast equipment. We'll just do a podcast here.
All right.
Together. I was making jokes earlier, but now I'm thinking that's a really good idea. I have a very accommodating garage.
That's true. Man, this doesn't matter. It doesn't even need to go in the podcast, but I'm very excited. Now I can go in the podcast. All of life is content. The way that this podcast works for Soren and I, Soren has a garage where he has like a dedicated podcast spot. So he just goes and sits down and does the podcast. I have been operating out of my apartment this whole time, so whenever I'm done recording the podcast, I pack up all my stuff and put it in the closet, and like the microphone and the little fucking box that I plug the microphone into, they all go away. It's not heavy, it's not a huge process, but I sure do hate it, and I drag my feet on it every time. But in January, I move out of this apartment and I'm in a temporary house somewhere else, and that house has a guest room, and I'm going to set up a podcast studio in it. It's going to be a podcast studio and also where my bass guitar will live, like a little like just like music and sound area that is just for me, and I guess theoretically sometimes guests, and I'm so pumped about it. I'm so thrilled that for at least a month I'm going to have a spot where this equipment just lives and it's already set up.
Yeah, it is. It's a quality of life changer. And the space that where my mic and everything is set up is not nice. It is where we throw everything that we don't want to deal with in the house. There's a lot of paint thinner around me, some gas cans and like screen, just rolled up screen in case we ever need to replace our screen. Like, and then there's a lot of spiders around me. But it really is just this one spot where I can go away from the house, sit down, and it's all ready for me to go.
Yeah. I can't wait until things flip, and like once this podcast really takes off and makes us lots of money, then it becomes the centerpiece of the house.
Yeah.
Then it's right, like where some people have a grand piano, you do a tour and you're like, and this is where I record the podcast. I sit right here.
And what I should do is
make my family leave the house.
I should try and get a voice acting career like going. I should really like work on like,
do you know anyone in the industry?
I first of all need to take some classes, I think, and like figure out what voice acting actually is. That would be a good start. Then I could maybe try and get some jobs. And if I had that, then I would need a reason for like a soundproof room in my house. And then, the icing on the cake would just be, I also have that all set up for my podcast as well.
I have so much respect for voice actors.
They're really good at what
they're really, really good. And I hate talking shit on another property, but it's Marvel. They have so much money, so it doesn't matter, and none of them are going to listen to this. But that Marvel What If series, I don't know, have you watched any of that? Probably
no, I've not.
It's animated, and it's just, you can tell from the title, it's based on the What If comics, where they take something familiar, like what if this character was Iron Man instead of Tony Stark, what if this happened, what if all of the Avengers were zombies, and you do like episodes about each of those things. And because it's Marvel and they've got more money than God, they got really anyone they've ever worked, almost anyone they've ever worked with to do voices. All these A-list stars come back to do these voices because it's very easy. And one of the things that is loud and clear about that show is you can be a great, fantastic A-list actor, movie star. You might not be a good voice actor. Like right. You could really tell someone who is just like not built for this very specific skill set. I don't know.
Ford is a good example. Harrison Ford is somebody who's so subtle, and like so much of his acting is in his face that you put him, you take care rid of his face, and it's just him saying dialogue. Like, could you imagine him trying to do something an affected voice? It'd be a nightmare.
Right. And it's just your voice. All you have to convey this is your voice. And there are some really good actors who just can't do it. And it's really on display in that show.
Yeah. I did one, my very first episode that I wrote for American Dad, Kathy Najimy was in it, or Kathy Najimy. I don't actually know how to pronounce her last name. It's Najimy or Najimy, but you'd recognize her as, she was in Sister Act, but she also does a lot of voice acting. She's
Peggy Hill.
Peggy Hill. So she's an excellent voice actress. And so she came in and had this character, like it wasn't like the first time she was just seeing these lines, which there are a lot of people who walk in, they're like, all right, so what are we doing? And like and this is the first time they're seeing it. She came in, she's like, so what are we thinking for her? And she's like, I was thinking either this, and she did this like beautifully built out character, or this. And she's like, she did this other one that was just a little bit older. And I was like, oh, well, now I don't know. because those are both great. Like, now it's my decision because she's given me so many good things. And I did it. And to hear our, like, Scott Grimes, he plays Steve on our show. Mm-hmm. Insanely talented voice actor, because he plays a lot of other just one-off characters on our show, and you wouldn't know it because he's so good. And his delivery every single time is just like pitch perfect. It's so wonderful to watch somebody like that work. And it's, you realize how far you are away from ever actually doing something like that.
Yeah, because I'm coming at it from like, I do funny voices in my car sometimes.
Yeah, it's also a terrifying thing. We do at Taylor Reads, you'll get cast as a role sometimes because either somebody's not there or, you know, it's just not cast yet. It's a table read. And so the writers will play different roles. And it's so scary because if it's something big, it's like a pivotal and it's got a lot of jokes in it, you're like, I should build a character. But what a vulnerable place that is to be.
Yes.
So just like try to build out a character and be like, well, I'm going to go in with this big fleshed out person. And if that's bad, I will be sunk.
Yeah. I think this is a true Hollywood story of me really fucking eating it. I was brand new to Los Angeles and I had a ridiculous manager at the time who was just getting me into different rooms because I was young and stupid. And when you're a manager, it costs you nothing to sign clients and right. one of them might work out. So I was nothing special and I meant nothing to this guy, but he's just like sticking me in rooms. And I was in a punch-up room for, this is going to date us so much, the first Fred movie. Now, Fred.
Oh, shit, I remember that.
Fred Figglehorn, it was a YouTube character. It was like early YouTube. This kid named Lucas invented this character, Fred, and the hallmarks of Fred was that his voice was put through like a sped up Alvin and the Chipmunks type filter, and he crossed his eyes a lot, and he screamed a lot, and it's a YouTube show that was like deeply... at best, alienating, at worst, offensive to everyone of a certain age.
Yeah.
We just couldn't stand this shrieking chipmunk freak child and didn't understand what anyone liked about it. But if you were younger than that, you absolutely loved it. Like, I can't overstate what a sensation Fred Figglehorn as a character was to young generations in 2006, 2008, 2010, whatever era we want to call that. So... obviously, there was a big movie with Fred Figglehorn with some like real comedy people behind it. And then there was a punch-up room that I was invited to where we went through the script line by line to like pitch jokes and make things better. And I'm surrounded by really great comedy writers from shows you've all heard of. And I just fucking ate it in this room because one of the things you have to do is like if you want... people in the room to like your joke, you got to make them like it. You've got to like sell it. So people are, it was extra hard for me because I was younger and also like, I can't just slide my jokes on a piece of paper across the table, which is what I'm comfortable doing. I have to like, okay, I got something for this. And then stand up and like do a joke as Fred. And I'm not going to do any of that shit. And yeah. People in the room who do that, obviously it's going to get a laugh and it's going to play and they get jokes and people like them and then they get future work. And I'm just like sitting there quietly like, I had an idea for a thing that this guy could say on page 30. I think he could say this kind of thing. And everyone's just going to match my energy and be like, that's okay. An interesting point. Anyone else? And then someone's going to like fucking stand up and flip the table over and be like, hey, it's Fred! And people like that because like, yeah, that's what Fred sounds like.
Right. Yeah. It's a very interesting dance to do that I have lost sight of now that I've been at the show for a while. But we pitch in rooms as characters, basically. Like you're doing a, you know, a 20% version of the character. So it's not exactly Roger, but it's just like it's got a Roger flavor to it, or it's got a Francine flavor to it. And that's really, really tough to do.
Yeah.
And like when you first start, you're not going to be doing that. You're going to be pitching in your own voice and it does hurt. And but there's also this other element to it that's like I'm only half trying too. And that's really important. If
yeah.
you go full bore as a character, it also hurts your joke. But if you do like a half version of it, but you just get across the sentiment and the timing and everything, that's the sweet spot. And it's fucking tough.
Yeah. We talked a lot about writing stuff in this episode.
I think, yeah, we didn't anticipate that, but I like it. I always like talking about writing.
I do too. I feel weird talking about the non-mechanical parts of writing, the magic parts of it, because yeah. I always worry that I don't want that to like to scare anyone off from trying to write. I really like to beat the drum that this is a craft that can be learned like woodworking and it can be practiced like running. Because as soon as you say anything that resembles magic, then it could be interpreted as like, you either have it or you don't.
Right.
And I don't want to scare anyone away.
You also don't want the muse to hear you and run off.
No, absolutely.
At the mention of her name.
No.
Which is also a possibility, I think.
Is that enough time for an episode?
Yeah, that's plenty.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. I have the social accounts, so I'm just going to read them. Oh, but on the social accounts, I just had some house cleaning that I wanted to broach. It's come to my attention that people are emailing, tweeting at, and DMing Soren, asking him to get messages to me, and also asking him to ask me to unblock them. And we have a lot of fun on this show about Soren being the more accessible one and me being like the curmudgeonly grouch. But like, we're not inviting you to participate in that dynamic. Leave Soren alone. This bit exists in the abstract. Please don't bother him about if I've blocked you on Twitter and you want me to unblock you, I can tell you unequivocally, getting in Soren's ear is not the way to do that, because there's no way to do that. If I've blocked you, don't take it personally. I probably thought it was funny, and I'm never gonna unblock you. And you're not missing anything. You just don't get to follow me on Twitter. It's just a thing you don't get to have, and it's worth nothing, so you shouldn't feel bad, but also you don't get to have it.
Every once in a while, I will just collect five of these DMs that I get, or whatever like the most recent group is, and I will screenshot them and just send them in a big dump over to Dan and write, I hate this.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah, I certainly don't take any action.
Yeah, it's flattering. It's flattering how much people want to be in touch with you. Boy, do they want to get to know you.
Well, assuming I haven't blocked you, you can follow me at DOB_INC. You can follow Soren at Soren_LTD. You can follow our boss at MakeMeBaconPlease, PLS. Email the show at QQWithSorenAndDaniel@gmail.com. Find the show on Twitter at QQ_SorenAndDan. You can find, hire, praise our engineer, editor, producer, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. We also have a Patreon, which you could find if you search Quick Question Patreon on Google. You could find it if you want to throw some money our way. Every once in a while, I think once a month, we do episodes just for patrons exclusively, where we answer your questions. And that is, at the moment, the only fun thing we offer to patrons. Maybe one day that'll change. I can't say, because I've never discussed this with anyone else involved in the podcast.
So I'm listening hard, because there's new information here.
We should cut this off before I start offering custom songs or t-shirts to our patrons.
All right, bye.
Bye.